coming up on Three and Out.
It might be the greatest defensive football game I've ever been a part of as a coach.
The Broncos defense sets the tone in Gary Kubiak's regular season debut.
And Brandon Marshall's got him.
The offense remains a work in progress despite an 11-minute drive in the fourth quarter.
Of course, settled with field goals, which was enough to win, but certainly like to finish those with touchdowns.
Peyton Manning and company will look to do just that at Arrowhead on Thursday, the place where he's lost just once during his 18-year career.
Thomas a catch and a Denver touchdown.
But this time, it's on a short week.
That's the big challenge. Like right now, he was dragging himself out to bed like,
It's time to wake up. It's time for Three and Out.
Welcome to this week's Three and Out. I'm Phil Milani, and as always, I'm joined by Chris Hall and Andrew Mason. And you may notice that we have a different title to the show. We'll get into that a little bit later. Let's first start with first down. Okay, first down, guys. The Broncos offense did not score a touchdown against the Ravens. Tough defense coming in here. But what did you guys see from Peyton Manning and company?
I saw personally what people have been talking about. You'll expect the first few weeks of group learning together. Keep this in mind. Evan Mathis, his first live snap with this group. Peyton Manning, the first time he goes more than a quarter and a half with this group. And, oh, yeah, I think against what was the hardest opening opponent for week one that you could ask for in the Baltimore Ravens. I think the only thing that would have been harder was if the Broncos had to go to Kansas City, which they have to do this week. But your first litmus test is against a Baltimore defense who knows what they're trying to do, and you still get the win. So I think you pack that away, you learn from it, and you move on.
Yeah, a couple of things I take. Number one, obviously, you're not going to win many games long-term with 3.2 yards per play and 1.2 yards per possession. So you've obviously got to get more efficient. And the other thing, to go beyond the passing game, let's look at the running game and look at the fact that in the first three quarters, the Broncos, you know, ran the ball one time for every three times that they passed, and then in the fourth quarter, got the ground game going. So much of protecting Peyton Manning and getting this passing game going, I think, is going to be predicated on the run game being a viable enough threat to keep an opposing defense off balance. That's how this offense works. I think the Broncos, no matter who's running the football, will try to get that going a little bit earlier in Kansas City.
Well, something that we've heard a lot from Peyton Manning is that it's a work in progress. Here's what he had to say after the game.
You know, really got off to a good start. Thought we were going to have some, you know, really good things, and, you know, felt in a pretty good rhythm early. And then got down there. I thought we were pretty good on third down all day. Usually you're pretty good on third down. It just seems like we had to have overcome too many each drive. You know, we'd overcome some third and longs and have to do another one, you know, three plays later.
Okay, so Peyton Manning looked a little bit frustrated at the end of the game, and you can't blame him. He was sacked four times. What did you guys see from the offensive line?
Well, again, go back to Evan Mathis, who owned it on Monday. He said, I thought I was the worst one among that group, which is saying something from an all-pro guard when you consider who three other guys in that group, it was their first start. Again, it's a bunch of guys coming together, a bunch of guys learning who now have some real tape to look at. Forget the preseason, forget practice. Some real tape, especially to see, Andrew, how teams adjusted at halftime. Look at what they did in the second half, adjustments. That is how I think you can grade progress, especially in game.
Yeah, ProFootballFocus.com as well thought that Mathis struggled as well. He actually had the lowest rating of any Broncos offensive lineman according to that site on Sunday. So, you know, he's got to get better. This is going to be a cohesion and chemistry thing. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for the Broncos, this isn't going to happen overnight. I think you're going to see some skittish play and some mistakes up front over the weeks to come. It's not, you're hoping to get incrementally better, of course. Obviously, Kansas City offers a pretty daunting challenge on Thursday night with the pass rush that the Chiefs bring.
Well, on Monday, head coach Gary Kubiak kind of echoed those same sentiments.
You know, I see some growing pains, I guess, is what I see. You know, I mean, there's three guys in there that never played a game for the Denver Broncos. So, you know, we had some issues, and not just them three. You know, as a group, we had some issues with a few things, but we did some good things, too. So I think we understand that you know, we're not even close to where we want to be or where we think we get to be as an offensive front. But I think we played hard, and I thought we played our best at the end.
Second down and time to talk about the defense. And while the offense didn't score a touchdown, the defense did. Aqib Talib's pick six, and the defense really kind of was the story of this game.
Yeah, not only did Aqib Talib's pick six, had him mic'd up, I hope you've seen that piece by now. Not only did Aqib Talib's pick six pump some serious energy in a Sports Authority field at Mile High on Sunday afternoon, and then you see Darian Stewart lock up the game with that pick in the end zone, but look at the top two leading tacklers for this Broncos defense in the first day. Danny Trevathan, Brandon Marshall, the two inside linebackers who have led this team in tackles the last 2 years, who we talked about all offseason, if they get healthy, can really round out all the other pieces of this defense. And now if you look nationally at what other websites and people who cover this league are saying, hey, this Broncos D could be the best in the NFL. Look what they're saying right away, and they're at the top.
Could be the best defense, could be the best linebacker core. This may be the best quartet that Wade Phillips has had to work with, certainly if it can stay healthy, because you have those two on the inside, and then DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. They were as advertised on the outside, especially DeMarcus Ware, who just owned his matchup. Once Eugene Monroe left the game, the Ravens had a lot of trouble keeping Ware from getting into the backfield. And then don't forget the depth. Shaq Barrett and Shane Ray both had some solid moments, and as we've talked about on other programs, and we'll talk about other programs here on Broncos TV, you know, Barrett and Ray, Phillips was not shy about putting them in a close and late situation there on the last drive.
Yeah, that's going to be key with a quick turnaround this week. And head coach Gary Kubiak kind of talked about that depth on defense on Monday.
When you look at some of the biggest plays of the game, you know, I think I made the comment yesterday. I think the big third and 10, DeMarcus and Baum are standing by us on the sideline. So, but that's confidence in your people. I mean, they've worked hard. They're on the roster for a reason, and you got to trust them. And, know that we'll put them out there in, any type of situation. So I was proud to see them go in there and do a good job.
Even though it was the game was on the line, you know, we rotated the whole defensive line. I think even D-Ware and Vine came out for a little bit and was still able to get effective rush on the quarterback and then came back in for that last little push.
And, yeah, Antonio Smith kind of joked about that, sometimes I didn't even know who I was playing next to there, and that's a perfect transition to third down here with a quick turnaround. A division opponent here, this is not going to be an easy game going into Arrowhead.
No, it's not. And, you know, we had the Chiefs game on up in the press box before our game. You know, I think everyone in town probably got a chance to see it. You know, you look at it's Alex Smith and Andy Reid, another year, another offseason working together. Alex Smith is a smart quarterback. You bring in Jeremy Maclin, this team, I think, still looking for a touchdown from a wide receiver after week one. They're still looking for a touchdown from a
wide
receiver.
That's
going to
happen. Maybe not this week, though.
Hopefully not. Going back to 2013, but they're going to be at home. They're going to be charged up. We've all been there when that place is just so loud you can't even hear yourself think. And as far as being the next test for this team, let's get these two out of the way. And if you can get them both out of the way with wins, fantastic. The rest, it's not quite downhill, but man, is it close.
And when you take Arrowhead in prime time, plus Arrowhead, that will be emotional with the regular season return of Eric Berry after battling lymphoma over the last nearly 12 months.
That's right.
You know, it's going to be a hostile environment for the Broncos, especially getting that offensive line up to speed and getting it in sync. It's going to be difficult, frankly, in that environment. So I think a lot of this is going to hinge on the defense and how well it can contain those Chiefs weapons. And didn't mention Jamal Charles, of course, who's the bell cow of that offense.
That's
and the other thing to consider is the third phase special teams, because, you know, the Chiefs have, you know, one of the best return games in the league, and certainly Joe DeCamillis' unit is going to get a stern test for what the Chiefs can do on kickoff and punt returns.
Well, it is a place that Peyton Manning has only lost once in his entire 18-year career. We'll see what happens this time on a quick turnaround.
To have that early in the season, I think, is important. You know, we're about as fresh as we're going to be at this point. To turn around, it's going to be the easiest turnaround we have. So
I think it's a challenge for both teams playing on Thursday. We both have a short turnaround, so we just got to think about who wants it the most. How fast we can recover, that's why I'm about to go to a little bit of treatment right now and get ready for Thursday.
If you're able to, you know, put all of your work into the mental aspect of the game, it's ample enough time to have a solid game plan and know everything about your opponent.
Okay, and now it's time for fourth down, so we're going to punt it over to our very large social media department and Scott Ward.
First question this week is from Tanner at _T Wells. He wonders, Peyton did not look comfortable in the offense. Do you guys believe it is the new system or was it the Ravens' defensive pressure?
Okay, thank you very much, Scott. Great question there from Tanner. And as you can see, we got the whole band together, the four of us, all tightly squeezed together, cozy here. And Ben, what did you think about Tanner's question there?
Well, great question, Tanner. The offense's progress is going to come along as the season goes along, as Peyton said after the game. New offense is going to kind of go along as the season goes. And the Ravens did bring a lot of great pressure, so I don't think you can lay it all on one or the other. Pressure up the middle with Evan Mathis playing his first game. That cohesion in the middle of the line is going to come along as the season goes. So with his first game down, I don't think you can kind of place that all on one or the other.
All right, thanks, Ben. Always appreciate your input. Our next question from Jinto Lenapin. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. He wonders, do you think Mr. Hillman to you, Ronnie Hillman, is going to get more carries versus KC?
I think it's a question that a lot of fantasy owners would like to know going into this game, and it's going to depend heavily on the status of C.J. Anderson, of course, who did not practice on Monday. He's coming off ankle and toe injuries, and the short, compressed week this week, you know, may limit his repetitions. And frankly, I think with Ronnie Hillman's play in the preseason, and then also with how he did in the fourth quarter when the Broncos ground out that 17-play, 81-yard drive, I think Hillman has earned some more touches. So I think he will get the ball a little bit more. And the other thing to consider, Phil and Jinto, for you asking the question, is to go back to a point we made earlier in the show, the Broncos really got away from balance in the first three quarters and of the game against Baltimore, and then found it on that drive in the fourth quarter. I think they're going to try to get the running game going earlier, so that's going to lead to more opportunities for whoever runs the football, including Ronnie Hillman.
All right, thanks, Mace. Thanks, Phil. Next question comes from big fan of the program, Mushin, Andrew Mushin. He is at Metal Mushin. He says, the win wasn't pretty on Sunday, but a few players did stand out. Who's your game ball, Chris?
Yeah, game balls are fun, and we got 15 games left to hand them out to some Pro Bowlers who are on this team. But I'm going to go with Brandon McManus, responsible for 12 of the Broncos' 19 points, had four touchbacks on kickoffs, should have had a fifth, except for that squib to close out the second quarter. And this is someone who was pushed from the start of training camp to earn the job he's got. That 57-yarder, a personal best, he knocked it through, really gave this Broncos team, this Broncos offense, some momentum when they were looking for it. I'm going to go with the kicker, Brandon McManus.
That's a great selection. Yeah, Brandon McManus had one heck of a game there, and that's going to do it for 3 and Out. Before we go, though, let's explain why did we have to change the name of the show to 3 and Out. That's because our dear friends at The Fan have a 4 Down Territory segment. We love those guys over there. Even though they said, hey, we should keep it, I think it's probably best to switch it, right? 3 and Out's pretty good.
3 and Out's pretty good. I mean, you get called out on national radio.
I love everybody over at the Denver Broncos and DenverBroncos.com.
All the is that people, my boy Phil Maloney?
All the people that work on that website. Fantastic job. It is a treasure trove of information if you're a Broncos fan. However, I got to call them out. They have a feature on their website called 4 Down Territory.
You know, we're learning something new each week, and I think it's fine. It's great. You know new programming, and this we stayed in phase.
Well, and given the quality of the defense this year, at least exactly. Through week one, 3 and outs are positive. I think they have that positive connotation, so why not?
All right, so we're switching it to 3 and out. That's going to do it for all of us here. Thank you to Scott Ward over in the social media department, Ben Swanson, Andrew Mason, Chris Hall. I'm Phil Maloney. That's going to do it for 3 and out.